both the Timothys are my very favorite books. They are where Paul's teaching Timothy how to live, how to be a man, how to be a preacher. And there's just some great practical stuff, great doctrinal stuff. But anyway, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I will endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, what I want to look at tonight is the characteristics of a good soldier. Again, this is Paul teaching Timothy how he should walk, how he should be a faithful servant. And he uses the example in verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So this chapter, he actually is teaching Timothy how to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. The very first thing he tells him is found in verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, we miss something in this verse a lot of times. We think that he's telling him to be strong, and he is. But he's telling him to be strong in grace. He's not telling him to be strong that he's going to face things. He goes on later and tells him it's going to be hard, and he's going to have to endure some stuff. But right now, he's instructing him to be strong in grace. That's where we fall short so often. We are strong. We're so strong that we run people off because we're not graceful enough. We have to be willing to, and I'm not saying condone sin. We're to hate sin, but we're not to hate the sinner. We're to actually love the sinner. We're to see them as a soul, and our goal should be to win them to the Lord. In fact, a lost person should be sinning. they should have some kind of sin in their life. They should have things going wrong. They're not of God. So our job is to be graceful enough to help them through whatever that sin or situation is and show them the love of Jesus Christ with our grace. Thank the Lord He was that graceful to us. He saved us by His grace. And that's what we're to be strong in. We're to let others see the love of Christ in us through our grace. And you know, so many times people are so hard and so just brutally honest. There's no sense in pointing out a drunk sin. He knows he's a drunk. There's no sense pointing out a lot of people know, you know what you're doing wrong. It's not our job to highlight that. It's our job to highlight the Savior and tell him that he can take care of that. That it's nothing for him to. I tell you, he's cleaned up more drunks and drug addicts and prostitutes, and I mean, he can do it. That's what he does. That's what he loves doing. And we're just to point him in the right direction rather than tell him what they're doing wrong. Now, secondly, he does tell us that we're going to have some hardships. In verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It is going to be a rough road. It is not going to be simple. We are going to have flat tires. We are going to be in traffic jams. We are going to have financial problems. We're going to have financial good times. It's a roller coaster. Just because we get saved, we do not get freed from the cares of this life. If you look at Jesus as an example, my goodness, he endured everything. He was technically homeless. He didn't have a nice home. He probably, I don't know how many pairs of clothes he had, but it's probably just as many as he could carry. So he absolutely endured hardness, and he left us the example that we'll do the same. Now, fortunately, we have vehicles and don't have to walk or ride donkeys. We had a donkey for a while, and I would hate to think that I had to ride that for any distance. That thing was terrible. But we will endure hardness. We will, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. So we get good with bad. But at least we're warned of it. He doesn't try to cover that up at all. Now, also we see in verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So one thing we're not to do is get tangled up with the affairs of this life. Now, that is hard to do. I tell you, if you go sit down in there at the coffee counter, you can get tangled up in the affairs of this life. They'll talk politics. They'll talk about how our economy's messed up. They'll talk about all this stuff. It's hard not to get focused on that. It's hard not to watch the news or Fox or something and not get tangled up in the affairs of this life. In fact, right now, especially with the economy and the way it's just all over the place, it's pretty scary. It's hard to not worry about that. Fortunately, our God's got it under control somehow. Now, I don't know how, but he does have it. And he tells us that no man that warreth, because we cannot be the soldier we need to be for Christ when we're thinking about the stock market or when we're thinking about who our president is or when we're thinking about anything. And that's what's going on in this world. And the devil would like nothing more than to have us sidetracked thinking about small issues. If he keeps us worried about that, he keeps our focus off of what we're about. So we're to be single-minded. Now also he tells us in verse 5, it says, "If any man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." There's no way to serve Christ and cheat. There's no way to do it the easy way. There's no shortcuts. There's no way around the way we do this. It says that he has to strive lawfully. He's given us his word. His word is our rule book. It's our instruction manual, so to speak. We can't take shortcuts. God knows them. At work we can sometimes take shortcuts. At the grocery store we can clip coupons. We've got ways in the world that we can do things easier. We can't live the Christian life any easier. There's no way around it. God knows, and we just wind up looking bad if we do it. So we have to strive lawfully. Soldiers, they have to do the right thing too. The only ones you see on the news are the ones they catch doing something bad. But I'd like to say that the majority of our soldiers are good men trying to do the right thing, and that's what the Lord is asking of us. Now he also He also says in verse 11 that is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, one thing in our service as a soldier for Christ is we can know that we're secure. We know that if we die with Christ, that we'll live with Christ. He is faithful, and in fact, in 13, it goes on to say that if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If you've believed on Christ, you're his. He's not going to deny you. He's not going to deny himself. But we know that we have security in Christ. We have a safety net. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So as far as a commanding officer goes, we've got the best commanding officer anybody could ask for. He's not going to send us out there and not take care of us. You know, I had our next door neighbor was in Desert Storm, and he was out there in his rifle. I forget what kind it was. I guess it was M16, whatever the military rifle is. But he said he only had one clip worth of ammunition. He said now on his belt he had like three extra clips, but they were empty. And he said they were for looks. And the government had sent him out there with not enough ammunition. Now, fortunately, he wasn't in a violent area or whatever, but nonetheless, he felt like he wanted some more bullets, you know. Our Savior is not going to do that. He's going to arm us. We absolutely can be armed. Now, one thing I missed, in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble. Let me read 8 and 9. In 8, it says, remember that, that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Now, two things I want you to see here. First, in verse 8, Paul says, at the very end of that, he said that David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Let me tell you something. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you have a gospel too. Paul had a gospel. You've got a gospel. Now, they should be the same. It should be that Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. If that's the case, you can claim it just like he did. You can say that remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, and make you the my in that. This is a personal thing. You're a soldier for a God that accepts you and makes it a personal war, a personal effort. Now he goes on, Paul does in verse 9, he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. And that's true. You will suffer trouble. Glory to God, here in America, we are not going to suffer the same trouble a man would in China. No one is going to kill me for carrying my Bible anywhere. No one is going to say anything if I have a t-shirt that says Christ's name on it or something to that. Or we just don't face the persecution that other countries do. And man, we really need to take advantage of that. You know, I would be scared to death if the Lord called me to be a missionary to Red China, you know, where they're killing Christians. You know, I think, my goodness, certainly there's a misunderstanding. But thank God we don't have that. But we can't. We are going to suffer from it. You will get persecuted. You probably get laughed at. There'll be people call you a Bible thumper and a Jesus freak and everything else. But that's okay. In fact, it's a sign that you're doing something right, actually. But I do like at the very end of this verse, listen, he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But listen to this, it says, but the word of God is not bound. God's word will never be bound. There's nothing they can do to stop it. They've tried to shut it up everywhere. It continues to go out. There was a gentleman from Liberia in here a few nights ago, and he told me that they were taking Bibles and very carefully undoing the binding on it and making it 66 books so that they could pass it out throughout their tribe and share the Bible where everybody got a chapter or everybody got a book and got to share it because there weren't enough Bibles for everybody. The Word of God is not bound. I wish America had a love for God's Word like that, that they would spend that much effort. But the Word's not bound. Our enemy cannot stop this book. Now, going down to verse 15, this is one of my all-time favorite verses of the Bible. Verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a whole lot of stuff here. First, I want you to see it says, study to show thyself approved. you can be approved unto God. All it takes is studying. And I want to tell you something. When you start out studying as a new Christian, or if you're just getting going, or even if you've been going for a long time, you don't have to have this. This isn't like college level study. God honors you looking into His Word, trying to figure out what it says. God honors whatever level that's at. You hear people talk about Greek and Hebrew, and that's all well and good. God knows you can't speak Greek and Hebrew. They say it's Greek to me for a reason. If we'll study, if we'll make the effort, we will be approved unto God. He gives us that. Now, here's something else I like about this. It says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Studying is work. It's grueling. I tell you, I don't know about y'all. It is hard to sit down with the Bible and a dictionary and really study. It's hard. It's hard work. But I'm glad that God recognizes it here and calls us a workman. He knows it's work. He knows that it's a lot to it. It's not as easy as just reading. You're comparing scriptures, and I tell you, most like an old Scofield study Bible or something has great references to help you with that. You can just follow that along until you can do it yourself. Also, when you sit down and you're studying, if you'll just say, Lord, if you'll show me, because I'm not going to get it. If you'll show me something, I could really use it. He will. He wants you to study. He wants to teach you from His Word. He wants all these things, and would love to sit down with you and study. It never ceases to get me excited when God really shows you something out of His Word. You'll be reading, and He'll just light it up and let you know something brand new. And what's funny is no one else gets that. If God gives you something out of a verse, like I can tell my wife, hey, have you ever seen this? And she's like, yeah. It's not a big deal to her. God didn't give it to her. And it's been the same with her telling me, man, look what this says. I'm like, yeah, honey, I know. I've seen that. But it's really personal. But what I want you to see in this is that we're to know our weapon. And God's Word is our sword. It is our weapon. It is our only defense of this world. It also goes on to say, it says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I tell you what, there's been times that I've been outgunned as far as not knowing enough scripture in a conversation that really turned into a debate or whatever, and it's embarrassing. You look foolish. And not only that, your Savior winds up looking foolish when you can't defend your stance. Now, and again, I'm not saying that you have to be able to give a creation seminar or something to that effect. But what you believe, you need to be able to tell it. You need to be able to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and it helps. The more you can show it, it helps. But again, you don't have to be a theologian for all of that. Now, also, in verse 16, it says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." I want to tell you what, I've proved that true time and time again. There's a lot of things. Christians are bad about arguing amongst themselves. We're bad about whether I believe that you should be, baptism should be in an immersion or sprinkling. We argue over some of the silliest stuff. We really do. The bottom line is what Christ did for us. Our service is different from your service or something like that. We spend too much time in foolishness fighting. The world sees Christians fighting. We get a bunch of political junk in our churches. And why would a lost person want to go? Why would they want to go? My goodness, it'd be better to go to a country club and not be in an argument. Go play golf. The golf course, nobody's arguing, you know? So, my goodness, why would they want to do that? We're really bad about profane and vain babblings. We talk, and I tell you what, I'm a Baptist, and Baptists love to tell you how much they know. I probably shouldn't say that, but in the circle of my friends, they do at least. They love to study and outstudy you, you know. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. If you're using it to teach, that's wonderful. If you're using it to show off, it's ungodly. We don't need that. We don't need that amongst ourselves. We can go back to verse 1 where it says to be strong in grace. But anyway, in verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. and some to honor, and some to dishonor. 21 says, if a man purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, I want to tell you, there are levels as far as a soldier for Christ, and here we see that there's some that are honorable and some that are dishonorable, but I want you to know tonight that you can be honorable unto God. You can be prepared and meet for the master's use. You don't have to be some fancy anything. You can be just who you are, just like you are, and meet for the master's use. If you'll do just the simple steps in this to where you're just strong in grace, you try to study the Word, you get with God in prayer, keep yourself out of the world, you'll be meet for the master's use. He's given us instructions on how to do this. He wants that. God desires for you to be meet for His use. He desires to have you on His side. He desires you to study. He wants all these things, and He will absolutely help in this process. This isn't something to where you're like studying for an exam and you're all by yourself in. This is something you've got an enormous amount of help on. But he does say in verse 21, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So we do have to get some things out of our life. We do have to try to work with Christ. We have to walk with Christ, I mean. In order to do this. But it's possible. Don't ever disqualify yourself and tell yourself that you're not good enough, you're not able. That's a lie of the devil. It's just not the truth. It's absolutely possible. I tell you something else. You know, when you look at a soldier, they look different than the world. I'm not telling you to wear camouflage and shave your head. But you know, as we hear in verse 21, where it tells us to purge ourselves, people should see the light in us. People should see it. They should see it in your smile. And listen, I also know that there's going to be days that you get out of that truck and you're so mad, and some guy just pulled out in front of you, and he thinks you can stop on a dime, and you can't. And that day, just sit in your truck a little longer. Just don't let everybody see you. That's my advice. Hide that for a minute. When people are seeing you, let's look like we're serving Christ. Let's look like a good Christian. In verse 24, you know, and they'll love to say, now the church is full of hypocrites, and it is. I cannot argue that. But I tell you what, so is Walmart, and Walmart's packed right now. You know, there's a ton of places. If we're not going to go anywhere hypocrites are, my goodness, we couldn't go anywhere. Anyway, in verse 24, it says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Now, this is a huge charge. First, I want you to see something. It says, and the servant of the Lord. What do they call a military man? They call him a serviceman. That's what a soldier of the Lord will have to be. We have to be a servant. You know, and I tell you, the hardest thing to do in serving Christ is looking past your needs and seeing someone else's. It's the very hardest thing in the world to do. It's just human nature to take care of me first and look at yourself first. It's so hard to really serve others. If we could ever get a hold of the fact that when we saw everybody out in the world, that they were a soul in need of a Savior. If we could ever really grasp that and really have a burden in our heart to lead people to Christ and to show them Christ, it would be life-changing. It would be world-changing if we could ever get a hold of that. And I tell you, you know, I've been on a lot of ends of the spectrum of that. There's been times where it's almost a daily battle. Some days I wake up and I'm not willing to serve. Some days I am. And it all directly is related to my relationship with Christ, what I'm doing, whether I'm praying, whether I'm reading. But we're to be a servant of the Lord. Now it says that we must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Man, isn't that hard? Be gentle, apt to teach, and patient. Let's take this slow. It's hard to see a soldier as gentle. But you know, I tell you, when a soldier goes in to do his job, his job's not just to blow stuff up and to kill stuff and destroy. His job is actually to rebuild and save something. His job is actually usually a rescue mission of some type. We're to be gentle. Our goal, you know, when we know what our purpose is, and that's teaching others about Christ, we have to be gentle in that. We have to be slow And you know, it's so easy, like we talked about it on the very first verse where it's talking about being strong in the grace. There's so many times that we overlook where people are. Once you've been saved for a little while, you kind of grow cold to the fact that lost people just don't know. They don't know. It's nothing personal. They're just lost. They're just a sinner in need of a Savior. It's not, you know, yes, they have bad things in their life, but again, it's a characteristic of a lost person. They should. That goes directly in line with where they're at. It's our job to be gentle enough so they'll listen. You know, I mean, if you think back in school, the teachers that you had, the old mean grumpy ones, you didn't learn anything from. You always thought, man, you're scared of them. You didn't want to ask questions. You thought they hated. But the nice ones that smiled and were and you know, wouldn't fuss at you for asking questions and stuff, you learn more from. Now, something else he tells us is apt to teach. That's really hard. A lot of times I assume people know the things that I know, or the things, you know, we assume that they know these things. They don't. I've been shocked since I began in this ministry. How many people in the streets have absolutely no idea what Jesus Christ did for them? They have no idea. They don't know. And it's nothing personal. They just don't know. We've failed as American Christians in telling. We've failed. You know, what we've done is we've got lazy and decided that all the lost people should come into our church. Well, the truth is the church should go get lost people saved and bring them into the church. We don't just hope that they come in. And that doesn't work. So we've failed in that. We've failed in the teaching process, but we absolutely should. We should teach others. And lastly, in that verse, it says that we're to be patient. Now, that's a huge charge. That's a scary thing to ask for. You know, I wouldn't dare pray for patience. You know, you no telling what's going to happen. Something terrible is going to happen if you pray for patience. I don't recommend my wife. Well, I was going to say my wife, kids. She may not be kidding. She says she prayed for patience and got me, but she may just tell me she's kidding. I don't know. But I wouldn't recommend praying for that. Just slowly work on it. Just be patient. Yeah, that's a dangerous ground. And then in verse 26, let's read 25 and 26 to get in context. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Again, that's talking about his teaching. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, one thing our teaching should do is plant the seeds that will eventually develop into a salvation, that will eventually get glory to God for leading someone to Christ. But it goes on in 26 and says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want you to listen. It says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It doesn't say if they get caught by the devil. Again, we're talking about lost people. We're talking about people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are in a snare. It says here in verse 25, it says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. These are people that do not know Christ. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that's the only way they can get out of this snare. In verse 26, it does say, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, one thing that we do need to know as a soldier of Christ is exactly who our enemy is. You can't fight and win a battle if you don't know who you're fighting against. I tell you, the Satan that is against us is very powerful, very strong, knows more scripture than probably we do. He's better armed than we are. He's an awesome, terrible adversary. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, when I say that he's got us outgunned, he does by ourselves. Jesus Christ can absolutely protect us from him. He can absolutely keep us under his wing. He can take care of us. But I tell you, if you step out on your own, he's tough. This guy, Satan, has been destroying Christians for nearly 7,000 years. He is nothing to underestimate. You absolutely have an adversary out to get you. Again, I'm not telling you that to be scared. I'm telling you that so you know. Jesus Christ will absolutely cover you. You know, we talked earlier about the security we have as a soldier for Him. We know our destination. We know He's going to keep us. We know all that's fine. But we do have an adversary that we need to know. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, though, is found in verse 10. It says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now, what I want to tell you is the only way that you can be a soldier for Jesus Christ is you have to enlist in His army. You have to accept Him. You have to go that one step. The only thing He asks is that you believe on Him. You know, people, we can add all that we want to salvation, but the truth of the matter is, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And that's what He's asking from you. Before He can start this work in your life, before He can prepare you unto every good work, before He can make you meet for the Master's use, you have to be His. He doesn't do that with strangers. I tell you, in closing, I'm going to say a closing prayer. If you'd like to come up to the altar, you're absolutely welcome. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I'd love to. Don't leave, you're lost. It's too big of a risk. There's too much stuff going on in our world. There's too much dangers. There's too much. Y'all are on the road. Y'all see it. It's nothing to go out in the world lost. I would hate to think that I wasn't saved. I'd hate to think that my next breath could be in hell. But anyway, that being said, let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank You, God, for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the teaching of Paul. It always helps me. It always encourages me. I always love to look at what He tells Timothy, what He took the time to teach him. And Lord, I pray that You would help us apply these things to our life. Lord, I know I went over a lot of ground. I know I went over a lot of material in this book. And God, I pray that You would help us to look at it again, Lord, so we don't have to do it off memory. I pray that You would help us to study it, to look at it. You tell us You'll approve us. We can be approved of You just by studying. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to do that. I pray You'd just encourage us in that. Lord, and if God, there be anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know You as their Savior, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would just convict their heart. I pray that You'd show them. I pray, Lord, that you would help them. God, just convict them like You did me, Lord. And I pray, God, that they would get right with You. Lord, I thank You for those that came tonight. I thank You they were willing to come, even though there was a NASCAR race going on, Lord. And God, I thank You for that. I thank You for this chapel. And Lord, I pray, God, that You would just give us traveling mercy as we leave here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.